James Lowry singing that. Some of y'all old ones can, man. I see him. I was thinking the same thing in my head. He'd pull that little pen out and do that right there. Put me in as well. That's good, amen. Good singing, brother. Amen. You know, you hear a song for the first time, the first person ever sings it, the only person that can really sing it. Boy, Adrian did a good job on that thing. Yeah, I might have to rethink that one, amen. That was pretty good, amen. That's good. Thank God for Jesus.
Yeah.
Just think the way we're singing him up, going up that Calvary's hill, man, and boy, he was done wrong. Yeah. If there's ever a man that was done wrong, it was Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Hands down, he was done wrong.
Yeah.
Amen. You ever been done wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what he did? Kept going up that old Calvary's hill.
Amen.
Well, if he can keep going up, we surely ought to keep going up, ain't we?
Amen.
Ain't nobody been done as bad as he was, and he kept going on.
Amen.
I ain't saying you ain't been done bad. I ain't saying somebody probably ain't said something about you, hurt your feelings, but he kept going.
Amen.
If he kept going, we ought to keep going, amen.
Amen.
We are without excuse, amen. He set the bar.
Yes.
He set the example, amen.
Amen.
Let's just go a little bit further for him, amen. Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. It's the last part, part five of the living, the Christian life of faith. I was thinking today, I was looking over some of this stuff again, that what's the good timing of the Lord, how he does things. It's right at the revival, and had a good week of revival, and this last step of the Christian life of faith, there's things that are wrought in our life, how we begin to produce the fruit out of the labor. As we've studied this thing, part one, we saw in the beginning, now faith is the substance, things hope, whatever, it's things not seen. And the first work of faith was the work of God in verse 3. So the first thing that happens in our life is God has to work a work in us. That, of course, is salvation. That's the work of God. And then after you see the work of God in chapter 11, verse 3 and verse 4, you see that Abel offered unto God. So the second step of the Christian life of faith, amen, is after God does a work in our life, is we begin to worship him. Learn to sit at his feet and adore him and praise him and be taught the good word of God so God can equip us for later on. And then we see that Enoch, number three, he walked with God. So God does a work in your life. You learn to worship the Lord. Now, you never get over the work God done. And you never get over worshiping God. You ought to always worship God. But as you worship the Lord, God will soon allow us to walk with him and see him do miracles and see him do works as we walk this Christian life of faith. And after you walk with the Lord a little while, we see in number four that Noah built an ark. He went to work. So God wants to work in our lives. We worship the Lord. We walk with the Lord. And then God will allow us to work with him. Amen. God allows us. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And what is it? 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 over there that we're co-laborers together. We work with him. Amen. He works in us. And so after you work with the Lord, then we come to Abraham tonight, which is that fifth step. After God has saved your soul, you're worshiping him, you're walking with him, and you're working with him, and then God will allow fruit to be wrought out of your life. Amen. That's where we want to get to the point where God is producing fruit out of us. Amen. A fruitful Christian is a productive Christian.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Some might not bear the same amount of fruit or the same type of fruit, but the fruit ought to be for God's glory and for God's praise. We are put here to please him, to be a sweet Savior unto our Savior. Amen. So let's look at Abraham chapter 11, verse number 8. The Bible said in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country. Boy, this is a strange country we live in, ain't it? Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. There is him working and walking with the Lord. And Abraham's known as the friend of God. That man was close to God. Amen.
Amen.
And God tests Abraham, and God will test me and you. God will put you to the test. See what you're going to do. He tests his willingness. He tested his weakness. Well, him and Sarah was both weak, right? So God will test me and you. And the Bible says that he's out there with his family, heirs with him of the same promise, the end of verse 9. Then verse 10 says, for he looked for a city. which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Well, I'm looking for a city.
Yeah,
songwriter said, go into the city, amen. Through faith, verse 11, also Sarah herself. So you know it's amazing that God has used males all the way through this thing? And God loves females. He made them, amen. And they do a lot of great productive work for the Lord. But when you begin to get to the point and you see these steps and how they play out spiritually in the Christian life, how God does that work and we worship Him and we walk with Him and we work with Him and now God begins to produce fruit out of our lives. You know what God to do? God to put a good woman in your life to help produce fruit. Get a good man with that woman to produce good fruit, amen. Hey, I don't care whether you're female or male, we can all produce fruit for the Lord, amen. And so Sarah's that type of fruit producer here. And the Bible says, through faith also Sarah receives strength to conceive seed and was delivered of child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude. Hey, ain't it amazing when you begin to wrought things for the Lord, man, you can do more than you can even ask or think. And the fruit that is produced out of us is like the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. There's no telling what God could do with an individual's life that'll just step out by faith and never get over the fact that God has saved their souls and just worship and adore Him and walk with Him, amen. And when God opens the door to do a work, do a work, and more, the fruit and the rewards will be endless in glory. And that ought to be ultimate goal in our life. It's something to be able to lay back down at His feet for how good He has been to us. We can't repay Him. But man, I'd sure like to give him something, wouldn't you?
Amen.
So she said, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Yep. Let's pray. Brother John, how about pray for us, brother? Yes, God, help us, Lord. Just keep pressing.
Bring us through it all. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. You take the 12 disciples, and of course, you really say the 11. One of them was the devil. And then they chose that other one in the beginning of the book of Acts. You know, those 12 individuals turned the whole world in their city upside down. I mean, they changed the whole world. Just 12 individuals that then through those individuals, others were saved and other things were produced and the work that it done. But it all started with Jesus Christ and that little core of those 11. Amen. And how much was done in their lives. You know, sometimes we read those things and we preach those things and we look at those individuals and what they've done and we think it's far-fetched from what God could do with me and you. You know, those men were nothing different than what we are. I mean, you take Peter Cusser, that's all, you know, but a troublemaker, always putting his foot in his mouth and doubting Thomas and these other individuals in there, and they just gave their lives to the Lord and done what they could for the Lord, and God breathed on it, and God blessed it and turned the world upside down.
Yeah.
Now, you know what God could do? We got more than that here tonight.
Yeah, amen.
We got more people than that right here tonight. And you know what? If the individuals within this church would get a heart like that and get a burden like that and walk with the Lord like that and please the Lord like that, hey, I think we can turn the county upside down.
Amen.
You say, oh, that's back then. It is back then, but God can still do it today.
Amen.
If some people just get serious with the Lord, they want to walk with Him and please Him and get their lives in a place where God can use them. Hey, the possibilities are endless of what God can do with you. A lot of times we think, well, yeah, I know you're talking about something. I'm talking about anybody in this building. If you would get serious with God, if God has saved your soul, number one, and you have been worshiping the Lord, and you're war with Him, and start going to work when God opens up the door, and don't kick nothing down, and wait on God, hey, God can produce fruit out of your life that can be endless, amen, of what God can do with somebody like you.
Yeah, amen.
Hey, God's just looking for people to say, hey, God, here I am, send me. Whatever you want, here's my life. I'm going to my job. This is my family. This is my children. This is my wife. This is my husband. But we're going to walk with God. We're going to trust God. And we're going to watch God do miracles with our life.
Amen.
That's what we need, amen. We need to get to the point where God can wrought miracles within our lives. Hey, this is the point where we begin to bear fruit with our lives. Hey, from this point, hey man, you'll see that the apostles that we've used as types in this thing. Got to recap a little bit. You know how the apostles started over there and God went out and chose them over there in Matthew chapter number 4. And he went to chose his disciple, choose them. Then Matthew 5, 6, and 7, they're sitting at his feet on the Sermon on the Mount and they're worshiping God. Amen. After you get saved and you learn to worship and adore the King. And then they begin to walk with the Lord in chapters what? 8 and 9. And just watch God do miracles and raise the dead and heal the sick and all the things he did. And then in chapter 10, God commissions them and sends them to go do a work. Amen. And after God sends them to go do a work, when you read the rest of that thing, how it plays out in their lives, you begin to see the fruit that's produced. And as they go along, they stumble, they make mistakes. Hey, they forsook him at the cross. Amen. Hey, you're going to make some mistakes. Amen. You're going to fall on your face. Hey, the only people that don't make mistakes are people that what? Don't try, amen. Hey, you're going to make mistakes and you're going to have to face the shame. You're going to have to get up and keep going up that hill. Hey, people are going to do you wrong. You're going to do somebody else wrong, amen. Hey, somebody's going to treat you the wrong way. You're going to have to let it and get over it, amen. You're going to have to let it be like water off a duck's back and let it go. Hey, there's more things important. The work of God's got to go on. Hey, ain't got time for pity parties. We ain't got time for quitting, amen. Hey, there's a work to be done. There's fruit to be wrought, amen. And we need get busy for the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God might have to cut some things out of our life that hurt us. Amen. Hey, to produce more fruit and get us where we need to be. But God wants to bring glory out of our lives.
Amen.
And sometimes hardship takes hardships. I heard something the other day. How many of y'all know Jack Nicklaus? The great golfer? Jack Nicklaus? Won all those majors. Amen. And won more majors than any golfer ever. Jack Nicklaus. Brother Brooks even heard of Jack Nicklaus. See, there ain't any, you know that something, amen. Jack Nicklaus. I heard something the other day. You know what he said about Jack Nicklaus? That great golfer. Do you know why he took up golfing? I never knew this. I heard it the other day. I thought, well, ain't that amazing? And I thought, what the type that is of how God works in our lives. They said one day his daddy broke his ankle. And they said his daddy had broke his ankle. He couldn't really do what other things that he liked to do, so he took up golf. And Jack Nicklaus said if his daddy would have never broke his own ankle, he probably never would have became the golfer that he became. That's a hard thing. His daddy broke his ankle, and then that thing happened and produced him as one of the greatest golfers to ever live, amen, to ever swing a golf club. Hey, you know what that shows me? Hey, it might be a hardship. It might be something that breaks in your life, that tears up, but God's trying to use that thing to get you and I where we need to be. Amen. We get to concentrate on the heartache and the pain and the disappointment, amen. We can't see the big picture of what God wants to do with our lives. Hey, God is allowing, and all things are working together for the good of them that love God. To them are the called according to his purpose. Amen. Hey, that's a great promise, and I know it's hard to understand, but God knows what he's doing. Just allow God to produce fruit out of your life. Look in Matthew chapter number 13 how this thing played out. We're living the Christian life of faith. We want to get to the point where things begin to be wrought in our lives. We want to get to the point where we start seeing some fruit bearing. And sometimes when you don't see fruit for a while, you kind of get discouraged and wondering if I'm in the will of God, if I'm doing what I ought to do, you know. And I believe every once in a while we all ought to examine ourselves and see what's going on. And I believe we ought to be like the psalmist and allow the Lord to examine ourselves. Now, what did he say? Psalms 139, search me, O God, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me into the ways of everlasting. Hey, every once in a while we just need to lay ourselves on an altar and say, God, hey, check me out. See how, let me know how I'm doing, amen. Hey, just kind of run the course, amen. Run a scan on me like you do a computer, you know. Hey, scan me and defrag me and get all the junk out of me, amen. Hey, and get me where I can be more productive, amen, and produce more work with a little more speed and a little more accuracy and a little more touch of God on my life, amen. Hey, just cleanse me out, amen. We need that in our lives. Hey, the disciples here have been called to the Lord. They've been working for the Lord, and they've gone out, and now you begin to see the fruit that is produced out of their lives. Up to the multitudes and thousands that are saved in the book of Acts and the books that are written that complete this King James Bible that we hold in our lap today because people were willing to use their lives for God. The Fox's Book of Martyrs, they was talking about it this morning, the great history of those saints of God that done great things for God. They were people that were willing to just give their lives to God no matter what the cost, and then things were wrought that still affect others today when you read it. Amen. Our lives ought to go on, and we ought to be like the point where when we're dead, we still speaketh, amen. Make an impact while you're here and leave a legacy when you're gone. Amen. Do great things for God. Matthew chapter number 13, you get to that point over here where the Jews are that number of rebellion or turning their back on the Lord, and he's beginning to set his face like a flint towards Calvary. Of course, he'd done that since he got here. But Matthew chapter 13 and verse 8, but others fell into good ground. He's talking about the seed sower that's gone forth to sow the seed. And there's a purpose why God wants to sow seed in your life, because God wants us to bear fruit. The Bible said this, and the seed fell on good ground. If the ground's thorny, if the ground's rocky, if the ground's not right, it's going to be hard to produce fruit. Some of you growing crops this year. Amen. I think, brother, did you say you're growing some tomatoes? Put some tomatoes in the ground. I heard it this morning. Amen. Some of you others might be trying to grow something. Amen. I thought about getting me a couple of 5-gallon bucket and grow me something. Amen. In the city, amen, like a city farmer, amen. Maybe save me some money with my wife eating all that squash and zucchini all the time, amen. Grow it up yourself, amen. It's going to take labor, it's going to take work, but the soil's got to be right. Amen. You know what the problem is? A lot of times why we're not producing any fruit, because the soil's not right. There's something wrong in here. We got too many contaminants, amen. We got to get out some of the junk. Hey, let the Word of God fertilize and water us and get us to the point where there's some good ground. And when that seed falls on the good ground, and that's what preaching does, and reading and praying and seeking God. Hey, God's throwing out seed, and he's trying to catch some ground and produce some fruit out of your life. Yeah, amen. Hey, and we're preaching and teaching, and when you're laboring and witnessing and working, hey, what you're doing is throwing out the seed, throwing out the seed. You say, well, it seems like it's always hitting the bad ground, and the fowls are coming and devouring, and the thorns are choking it out. But yeah, once in a while, it's going to land somewhere where it's going to take root, and God's going to bear fruit out of it, amen. Hey, just keep sowing. Just keep witnessing. Just keep working. Just keep pressing on for God. Amen. And the Bible said it fell on good ground, verse 8, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Now, some of it might be the fold of it might have something to do with the soil itself that only could produce a certain amount. You know, there's a lot of ways that you can look at it. It might have been wrong, something a little bit that the soil would have been worked a little bit harder in that one individual. It had been more than 30-fold, maybe. And if a little work would have been done a little bit more on the 60-fold, maybe they'd have done more. Or just maybe it might not even be a problem at all. It just might be the person themselves that's all God wants to produce out of their lives. I know we ought to all desire a 100-fold life, but you know what? Everybody might not be a 100-fold life Christian. It might be a 60-fold or a 30-fold, amen. But you ought to have some kind of fold. There'd be something coming out of your life. There'd be some kind of fruit being buried out of your life. Hey, if the root's down in you, which is Jesus Christ, there ought to be some fruit coming out of the tree, amen. Look at verse 23. The Bible says this, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, that's how it's going to work, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Amen. It's amazing that things that go in your mind, some things that when you're pressing, when you're preaching, maybe might be the devil throwing something in there or whatever. But I can remember sitting at a camp meeting one day with Brother Walt Ziegler, and he was getting ready to preach, and he was looking for that passage of scripture in the Bible. I don't believe I was able to help him that day, but he was looking for it, and I remember it, amen. He said, what's that mean? I don't know, amen. Just something, you know, get in your mind. Maybe you should cast it down, those imaginations, and let it go, but I threw it at you anyhow. 2 John verse 8 says, look to yourselves. Yeah. Amen. We're to take a look. We're to examine ourselves. Check out what's going on. Look to yourself that you lose not those things which we have wrought. Some things that we have done, some things that we have accomplished. Amen. We're getting to the point where our lives ought to be wrought in something for God. Amen. And you ought to look to yourself that you lose not the things which you have wrought. Hey, but the Bible says, but that you receive a full reward. Hey, we ought to want a full reward. I don't want a half cup. I don't want a third of a cup. I want it full. I want my life to be wrung out for the Lord. Amen. amen. Hey, wrought means to be formed by the work of labor, amen, as wrought iron, amen. Hey, there's some labor involved. There's some effort involved, amen. Hey, we're trying to produce fruit for the Lord. Hey, some things you might have to put up. Hey, some things you might have to look over. There's some people you might have to forgive. There's some people you might need to apologize, amen. Hey, whatever it's going to take, but the ultimate goal is getting to the point where your life is bearing fruit for God and your life is pleasing the Maker, amen. That's where we ought to want to get in our lives, that God is looking down and smiling at my life and fruits being produced out of our work and labor, amen. There's a reason for the effort and the labor. As a brother said about like Brother Mac, amen, with those grapevines, amen, he's rotting around that thing and tilling it up and fertilizing it and cutting it back. Hey, it's why that it might produce as much fruit as it can. And that's what God wants out of your life, as much as he can squeeze out of you. Amen. As much as the Holy Ghost can breathe on and make something happen out of it. Hey, because we know if anything happened, all glory is due to him. There'd be some things wrought in our lives. You say, well, I'm not wroughting that much, preacher. Well, if something's coming off, thank God, amen, just keep pressing on. Hey, that might take a couple of years for that tree to get up where it gets a lot more apples than when it did the first time you ever seen an apple on it. Right. Hey, for a long time, that apple tree might grow and you never see an apple. Until it gets to a certain age and you start seeing something produced on it. And if you dig around it and dung it like the Bible says, amen, and put the water to it and the fertilizer to it and let God give the increase, it might have a little bit more next year. And then it might have a little more next year, amen. Hey, there used to be some pecan trees behind old grandma's house. Everything's about that big around too. Hurricane Hugo took one of them down. Here's a little thought, amen. Hey, say, I don't know how that thing really works. Maybe I'll do a little bit of research on it. But they say them trees kind of like work one to another. Like one tree helps the other tree produce. And those two big old trees out there, hey, how does it do, Brother Brooks? Pollen does it, amen. I know that pollination has something to do with it, but they say some of those trees work together. You know what I think about them two big old trees out there? I kind of think about my old grandma and grandpa. Hey, as long as those two together, they making something happen, you know? Hey, you get a husband and wife raised up together, and God bless it on their lives, amen. And then one old day, Hurricane Hugo came down and knocked that big old tree down, and that other tree never bared as much as it did before. You know, you might lose a spouse. Hey, so God might take one out of your life. God forbid, amen. Sometimes that thing happens, amen. And you feel like it just ain't producing what I used to. And maybe you can't, because that when you were together, that was what you could do. And there's nothing wrong if one of them's gone that you can't do what you used to do, but you can do what you can. And that's what God wants you to do. A lot of times somebody will lose a spouse and they'll just give up and quit. Amen. They're over now. My life's over. Your life ain't over. Hey, man, we just laid them down. We're going to see them again tomorrow. Hey, just let God do what you can with you, because the fruit that's coming off you is going to bless somebody else's life. Amen. Hey, God has wrought something in your life. Hey, don't lose the reward and amen the last steps. Just keep pressing on. When people get to this step, they have learned how to enjoy their Christian life no matter what they face. Amen. That's where we need to get to the point where we're just enjoying the ride. It ain't a drag to serve the Lord. Amen. I know it's hard. And I know things break our heart. And man, sometimes we aggravate others and others aggravate us. But man, it is the best life to live. Young people, look at your preacher. This is the best life to live. I don't care what kind of glitter you see out in that world. I don't care how much you hear the preacher or your mama or your daddy or other members grumble and complain. Hey, kind of look over us a little bit. We a little grumpy and crampy sometimes. And hey, we talk outside of our head like we ain't got no sense. But when we're right with God and in the light of God, we'll let you know. Oh, the best life to live is this Christian life. Ain't nothing like it, amen. Hey, things might rip our heart out, things might hurt us, but I wouldn't trade nothing for my journey now. Hey, God's been good, and he's the best God I'm serving, amen. Ain't nobody like him, amen. All other gods are false ones anyhow. Amen. In Acts chapter number 16, Paul and Silas, we sung about just a minute ago, over in that prison cell, amen, the heartaches that they're having and going through because they've been put in prison, but they're singing and praising the Lord. Acts chapter number 5, those apostles were over there being beaten, told to shut up, but they count it worthy to praise the Lord and just worship him and to suffer for his name's sake. Hey, that's where we need to get the point in our life. At hell or high water, we gonna serve the Lord no matter how hard it gets, no matter who breaks our heart. Hey, God's worthy to serve and he's worth pressing through with. Amen. He's a good God. Amen. God wants to bring fruit out of our lives. Look in John chapter number 15. Fruit. God wants fruit. Is it hot in here? Was it me? I should have never said nothing. I got this and this. Amen. Maybe I need to sweat some impurities out. John 15:1. Hey, fruit. We need to bear some fruit. It's a great chapter on fruit here. Some great principles within this passage. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. No doubt who that is, right? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. Got to cut it back. Amen. Get rid of some junk. Wants more fruit out of it. Hey, you know what? God's not satisfied with just a little bit. He wants a little more. And if God's not satisfied but with a little bit, wants a little more, we ought not to be satisfied with a little bit. We ought to want a little more.
Amen.
We ought to be pressing on for greater and bigger things. You say, what if he don't do it? That's all right. We're going to press anyhow, right?
Amen.
Hey, let's go as far as we can. Let's do as much as we can. Let's try to win others to the Lord. What if we don't win no more? That's all right. We're going to try to win them to the Lord. We're going to try to do what's right, right? Hey, what if we don't fill the church up? That's all right. We're going to press forward and try to fill it up. And if God wants it full, he'll add to the church daily such as should be saved. Hey, but if I don't want to shortchange God, I don't want to shortchange my life, amen. We're going to be looking for greater and bigger things. You say, well, we're not looking at numbers and things like that. I understand that, but we're looking for some working fruit of God.
Amen.
Amen. Whether God does or not, we ought not to quit. We're to press on, but we ought to have a faith and, hey, to see God do great things. Like I said, man, I'm still praying that little section over there. Fill up. Amen. Amen. It ain't going to fill up. We don't get busy and work. Amen. Labor and toil. You say, what if he never does? That'll be all right, but it ain't going to be. I hope it ain't because we didn't try and we didn't trust God and do what was right. Amen. If God didn't want us to have a 10, that'd be all right too. Hey, but I want 100. Well, you get 100, then you ought to want 200. You ought to want more people that you can affect, amen, to go closer to the Lord and walk and please God. Hey, we are put here to please God and rub off on somebody else.
Amen.
And you ought to want more and more. He said he purges that it'll bring forth more fruit. And I know sometimes you get your perspectives in the wrong way and get to looking at the numbers instead of the results and what God's doing. And that's not what we want. But we ought not on the other side say, well, we ain't want nothing at all and ain't going to talk about it at all. Hey, God said he purged it to bring forth more fruit. He's interested in it. We ought to be interested in it. Verse number 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Hey, something about that word, something about that book is going to help bring fruit. Amen. He said, abide in me and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, you ain't doing it on your own, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. It went from more to much. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. We need God. We need his word. We need his touch. Amen. We need God to prune. Allow him to do what he wants to do to cut out of our lives to get us where we need to be. If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. So a lot of people take that passage over there in verse number 6 and so that you can lose your salvation. Where it's talking about branches and fruit and amen. The ultimate vine's Israel, amen. But the type of the application still works with the child of God. Oh, because every type don't work don't mean I ain't gonna use the type. Amen. I understand where it works doctrinally and what God wants to do in my life. Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Disciples are people that bear fruit for the Lord. Amen. Look back in Hebrews chapter number 11. Living the Christian life of faith. I want to look at some characteristics at this stage that we see through the man Abraham and his wife Sarah. Amen. How God breathed and used their lives. The man known as the friend of God. Amen. Hebrews 11. Look in verse 8. You know what? If you're going to bear fruit for the Lord, you know what I say about these two individuals? They are actively on the go. You want fruit? You better get going. You say, well, I'm just going to sit here and see what's going to happen. Ain't nothing going to happen.
Yeah, amen.
Ain't nothing going to get done. You say, well, try that out there with your grass this summer. Well, I'm just going to see if it goes any worse.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get to moving. You're going to get some active about you. Amen. Amen. Hey, a lot of God's people just not active. Not trying. I understand, amen. You might can't do what you used to could, but we can do something, right?
Yeah.
Just give God what you can. Let God do what he wants to do with it, amen. Hey, you got to get active. You got to get to moving. You got to get to going. Hey, you don't get active, amen. You're going to draw up and die somewhere. Amen. That's what happens a lot of times. And I know sometimes the old flesh don't want to go when the body gets down. And maybe it might need some rest time and need to sit down and rest and maybe recover within itself. Amen. Hey, but sooner or later, you better get up and go.
Yeah.
Hey, you go and they put you in the hospital and let you lay in that bed for so long, they're going to say, we're going to need to get up and walk a little bit. Not you're going to start getting blood clots. Things going to go bad. It ain't going to work out. We got to get you moving, amen. Hey, because they know as soon as they get you moving, they can get you out of that thing and get you back to normal, amen. Hey, we as God's people better get active. You just can't come up here and sit on the pew and say, bless me if I can, and go home and nothing happen. You got to start allowing the Word of God to challenge your life and challenge your heart and do something with the Word of God. Not just hearers of the Word, but doers also. Word of God came to Abraham one day, and he could have said, you know, that sounds good. I like that. And done nothing. He's still been over in that pagan land.
Yeah,
but the Word of God came to that man. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should have to receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. He said, where do I need to go? I don't know. Just go where you know. And God will show you what you need to do. And he went. He moved. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and heirs of with them of the same promise. They were actively on to go. He obeyed the call of God. Wherever God wanted him to go, that's where he wanted to be. Amen. He had to give up some things to go. Had to leave his family. We know how it went. He ended up taking Lot anyhow, but God said leave him all, and he took Lot. You know, you kind of like, you know, you want to throw a little bit down on Abraham taking Lot, but you know, maybe he didn't want to leave somebody behind. He wanted to take somebody else out of that pagan land. Amen. But he brought him down there and he kind of drug him around, and it caused a lot of trouble in his life. Amen. Because he probably would have just been better just obeying God completely, because God's always right and he knows what's best, don't he? Amen. But anyhow, he took him anyhow. But he went. He didn't stay behind. He pressed forward. Amen. There might be some people you're going to have to leave behind, but you better get to going. Amen. Hey, God's called you to obey him. Hey, the Spirit of God, get a hold of your heart. You know, the best thing you can do is obey God. Don't be ashamed to lay it on the altar. Don't be ashamed to pray and confess and get right and obey the challenge. Obey the conviction, amen, in your heart. Hey, you got to get active. You got to get going. A lot of God's people, they get saved. And thank God for salvation. Thank God for heaven and the home. But we got a work to do down here. And to come a time you sit and worship and adore the Lord and keep adoring him and never get over that. But God comes to challenge you. It's time to get up and go forward.
Amen.
You say, what's people going to think? What does it matter what they think? What does God think? That you're not moving. Abraham could have faced the family and said, well, you know, I don't know what my daddy's going to think, my wife's going to think, and everybody else going to think. No, you can just obey God. He went. He surrendered to God. He left it all. Genesis chapter number 12, you can read the story over there, verse 1 and through 4. He went out, amen, and he trusted the Lord. He had to leave a lot behind. It hurts to leave people behind, but he went. He was on the go for God. Amen. That's why this thing became where his seed one day was as the sand of the sea and as the stars in numerous and multitude. Amen, because he trusted God and got active for the Lord.
Yeah,
you know what? It was a long time before you ever seen those stars, that number. And that sand, that number. There's times on the journey that he even doubted it was even going to happen. That's why he ended up with Hagar and the mess that he made over there, right? But he went. Hey, man, you know what? You said, but he made a lot of mistakes. Yeah, but he went.
Yeah, amen.
You said, but he messed up a lot and there's still trouble today. Yeah, they are. But on the other side, there's still a lot of stars and a lot of sands out there too, ain't there?
Amen.
Hey, some good rolled out of it. There might be some mess in there, but you got to keep pressing on. You got to keep walking. You got to keep going. You got to keep plugging. Amen. Hey, you say, well, I made a mistake. God can't use me. Hey, he didn't tell Abraham that.
Yeah.
Hey, God chasing him for it. Yeah, you got to pay the cost for it. Amen. Hey, but God wasn't done with your life. He called you for a purpose. Just obey the call and go. You got to press forward. You got to face the shame. You got to face the ridicule. Amen. You just got to press on. He was actively on the go. We see this in the disciples in the book of Acts. Amen. When he said in Acts 1 and 8, we said it this morning, amen, the Holy Ghost should come upon you. You should be witnesses unto me. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Hey, God wants you going.
Yeah, amen.
You know what happened to the early church? They got up in the book of Acts. Multitude, thousands were saved. People were turning upside down for the Lord. But you know what? They didn't go. And God had to raise up a little bit of fire down there through Saul and the persecution of the people on the people of God to get them to scatter to go a little bit further. Hey, God knows what it takes to get you moving, amen. Hey, maybe you got a little stagnant. God's trying to light a fire. Like I was telling Timmy tonight, I said, man, we were rehearsing that thing I said this morning about him and D'Angelo sending that same message out and both of them coming to me. And Timmy said, well, I said, I told the church this morning, well, maybe the Lord trying to tell me something. He said, yeah, maybe it's time to get over your bitterness and fill your horn up with oil and go. Maybe so, amen. Hey, you're not getting bitter, amen, and get to thinking about things and melting on all the junk of this old world. It's time to get over and go, man. Fill your horn up with oil. Let's go. The king's business requires haste.
Yeah, amen.
Going to worship the King, man. Let's get busy and go. Hey, we're actively on the go. If you're going to roll things for God, you got to get busy. God has never blessed a lazy man or woman. You want fruit out of your life, you're going to have to get busy.
Amen.
Old preacher was right when he said that, wasn't he? I mean, God never blessed a lazy man. And God blesses people that are faithful in following him. In the book of Acts, the multitude of people that were saved, the fire that was spread, because people went forward for God. Amen. Hey, the Spirit of God, by the way, is always on the move. First time you see the Spirit of God in Genesis chapter 1, and the Spirit of God done what? Moved upon the face of the deep. Spirit of God's moving. Amen. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Holy Ghost moving on them. Holy Ghost is moving. Fire. God wants you moving, going. Amen. Active for the Lord. Amen. They were actively on the go. Number two, they were not only actively on the go, they were not attached to this ground. I mean, you got to get going, but you got to get unattached from this old stinking world. Amen. Look in verse 9. The Bible said, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in what? Tabernacles. You know what a tabernacle is? A tent, temporary dwelling place. You know what you see in Abraham? He's at a tabernacle. Amen. He wasn't tied down to this old world. Amen. Hey, this world will tie you down. Hey, we're in it, but we're not supposed to be of it. You got to live in this old world, but you ain't got to be of this world. Amen. Abraham dwelling in tabernacles with his family. What did it say there? With Isaac and Jacob, heirs of with him according to the same promise. Hey, you need to let your family know we're not tied down to this old stinking world. Yeah, we're in it. We got to live in it, but we're not of it. Hey, amen. He wasn't attached to the ground. So many people are so attached to this old stinking world, you can't do nothing. It's for it to tie you down. Hey, bills and things to tie you down. Hey, going after the glitter and glamour, which you think you got to have, and now you're in bondage to it where you can't serve the Lord like you should. I wonder how many people is called to the mission field but got so attached to this old stinking world and so in debt they couldn't ever get out of it to get to the point where they can go. You get tied down in this world to tie you. Don't get so tied down in this world. You never know where God might call you to go.
Amen.
Don't put your roots too deep. Amen. Wait on God. And by the way, if God does lead you, God will lead you according to that book right there. Hey, a lot of people kind of use Abraham as the example of why they always flipping and flopping and going. And God ain't nowhere in it, amen. You got to be the friend of God to get that kind of conversation, amen. You might have to clean your life up a little bit if you're going to say that God's leading you like that, amen. Amen. He wasn't attached to this old ground. Hey, a lot of people ain't attached to nothing, amen. That's why they're bouncing around from pillar to post. Hey, you need to get some stability in you, but you don't need to get tied up this old stinking world. The Jews were looking for the land. And we're looking for the Lord, amen. Hey, looking for that city, amen. I'm not looking for no land. I'm looking for the Lord. Hey, Titus 2, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great and God and Savior, amen. Amen. We're looking for him, amen. Hey, our eyes are on above, amen. We're waiting for the God to come back and get us. He said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. It were not so I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Hey, we're looking for the Lord, amen. Hey, the Lord has stepped out of the cloud and come back and get us. It's not the land, it's not the earth, it's the Lord that we're looking for, amen.
Amen.
Hey, don't get attached to this whole world. Set your affections on things above, Colossians 3, not on things below. It's a world to tie you down and to weigh you down. You can't get much done for the Lord. And Colossians 3, 1-7 is a good passage to read on that. Don't get your affections on things above. Hey, so many people's affections are down here. Somebody said a long time ago, it ain't nothing but more fuel for the fire. This thing's going to burn up one day. That's all it is. We see again the disciples in the book of Acts. Amen. Just going forward for the Lord. Selling out for God. Acts chapter number 4, Barnabas, selling all he had to help the work of God. Give it, man, you can't outgive God.
Amen.
I mean, he went all in. You know what you got? When you get people all in, you always have a bunch of fakers too. Amen. Barnabas went all in, sold all out to get the work of God going over there and spread it around the world. And in Ananias and Sapphira, the next chapter, a bunch of fakers come in and try to do the same thing. Hey, don't fake it. You know, do right.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Just trust the Lord. Amen. Hey, be who you are. Obey God what he's calling you to do. Hey, man, maybe you're 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Be what you are for the Lord. Amen. Let the Lord use you. We not the same. We're children of God. That's the only thing that makes us the same. The same Spirit of God lives in us. But we ain't all got the same work. Amen. If we all had the same work, we wouldn't ever get nothing but one work done. But if we got a whole bunch of work, we can get a lot more done, can't we? That's what I think about this church, practically speaking. Amen. You know what's good about the church when it comes to practical sense? We got all kind of trades in here. There ain't a trade in here we can't do. Amen. Well, a long time we was saying the only thing we don't have is an air conditioner, man. And I sent Katie out and made her marry one. You get us one of them, you know. We'll make it happen one way or another. Amen. But we got it, and God blessed it like that. Amen. You know what? We can get it done. Come together and work. I mean, even every once in a while, you can get something out of Jeremiah. God help, man. You know miracles is working around here. Whenever they picked that lawnmower up over there where Jeremiah worked, and I said, how's Jeremiah working? His boss man went, ah. I said, well, I know him too, amen. I said, ain't much can work him, but X like has a hard time, amen. But sooner or later, to catch, amen, it'll work. Work. Get busy. Labor, amen. Don't get attached to this old ground. Don't fake it. Just be who you are, amen. Abraham was active. He wasn't attached to this ground, amen. He adhered to God when it didn't look good. You know, if you're going to get something done for the Lord, you're going to have to get active. You're going to have to get unattached from this old world, and you're going to have to stick. Adhere to God. Get some stickability about you, amen. Stick. Be joined. Be constant, amen. Verse 11 said, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. It didn't look good for a long time because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. They were past age. You know what? Some of you getting up in age. And it's okay. You know? I mean, age is going to catch us all sooner or later. Yeah. He's talking back there tonight, amen. Brother Chavis back there, and Richie's, and we was talking about Richie, and he said, man, Richie can't see. He's blind as I am. He's going to catch us all sooner or later, amen. That's all right. We lighten the load on Richie a little bit tonight, amen. Richard's talking about all the 17 jobs he has around the church. We took one away from him. I told him, you know what happens? We start taking work away from you, trying to work your way out the door. Amen. He's giving up responsibility. Amen. Hey, age, you catch up with you. But you know what? You still press on. Amen. Abraham and Sarah was up in age, but they bear great fruit for God in the last stages of their life. You know what? You say, preacher, I kind of feel like I'm old. And you know, you are. You know, you're getting there, right? Things happen. But you know what? That don't mean God's done with you. Amen. You know how I know God ain't done with you? Because you're still breathing. Amen. You can still do something great for God. Amen. No matter what the age is, amen, God could use your life. They were past age. They were dead as far as that was concerned of conceiving children. But God breathed on it and God touched them, amen. When it seemed like they couldn't do nothing, God done something, one of the greatest things amen. In their life. The greatest fruit came in the last stage of their life. Ain't that amazing? Hey, man, you said, preacher, I've done a little bit as I went on. I've kind of been like the friend of God, walked with God. It might be the last stage of your life God wrought the biggest miracle ever done in your life. Amen. Hey, God ain't done. Amen. Just trust him, amen. Stick to him, amen. Hey, press on and let God do something with your life. It might be the last stage and the last mile, but that might be the time God comes through and does the greatest miracle in your life. Look at this in Acts chapter number 27. You got to stick, man. Stay in there. There's no telling what God will do. You know, God came to them very early on and told them they was going to have that promised seed. Very early on. And you know how, they're a great example for you and I. And especially when you got a desire and you want to be used of God, right? And every child of God's got something like that in them. The Spirit of God's in them wants to do great things, right? But you know what? Sometimes you feel like you're beating against your head against a wall. Yeah. I ain't getting nothing done. I ain't seeing no fruit. And you know what happens when you get like that? And then you get, like we said this morning, comparing yourselves among yourselves and somebody else is bearing fruit and you're not, and you get discouraged and defeated. I wonder how they felt all those years. They even got into flesh and tried to make it happen themselves, right? Don't ever do that. You just trust God and stick with God and stay close to the Lord, and God will come through in due time. Amen. Just keep climbing up that hill. Keep pressing on, amen, because God's going to come through. There's a work to be done. Hey, God saved you, and he wants to use your life. If you don't see the work being produced, you don't see the fruit right now, just keep going. Eventually, God will wrought it in your life if he has to do it on your deathbed. Amen. You know how many people, amen, that prayed for their family members to get saved and serve the Lord and never saw it on this side. But you know what they did until God took them home? They kept praying and kept pressing on. You got to adhere. Acts 27, verse 17. The Bible said, and when they had taken up, they used helps and undergirded the ship, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, straight sailed, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest laid on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Well, that happened in this old life sometime. All hope seems to be gone. But the Bible says, but after the long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have taken and have gained this harm and loss. Said, you'd have been better off if you would have done what was right. You know what? Abraham and Sarah would have done better off. They'd have done what was right, but they didn't. But you know what the man of God said? He said, now I exhort you, be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. And they were, amen. Hey, but they stuck in there and trusted God. Some came in on broken pieces, and some swim, and some came in on board. But all made it to shore, amen. You need to stick. Just believe God. God's going to come through. You know things rot in your life? Get active. Get unattached from this old world. And adhere to God no matter how hard it gets. God is working in your life. Let him bring forth the fruit that he wants. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you want to come and pray tonight.